I am now a migraine fellow person with you guys. My migraine was double this year. I had, I also get sinus infections. My sinus infections goes to my middle ear and you get the vertigo. I had both of those at one time. And this lasted for a long, long time. I was in class and they asked if anybody had any thankfulness. And I said, yeah, you know, with all these migraines. Bill came to the house and my head was under the pillow. Then Mark came to my house and I was way down. And I was down for quite a while. And it wasn't until the other day, I told Leah, I said, you know what? Out of all the headaches that I had and the pain that I had, and I couldn't even hardly stand up without falling down because of vertigo, I thanked the Lord that I still had a brain, you know, that I didn't get a part of it that was gone, that I forgot or whatever. But it said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And sometimes when you're in so much pain, and I don't understand why Paul had that thorn in his side, and he'd still be able to focus. I didn't understand why Job got all this bad stuff happening to him, and still was able to focus. And it's true; it's not until after. And we've all experienced flus, where your body is aching and you can't even hardly hold your head up. It's not until after you rest that your body starts to heal. And there was a point in my time and I had a real bad headache and I said, Lord, take me if you want, but I'm here. And he finally started to do something when I knew that I had lunches for kids. And so I had to stop blubbering. And I had to do something for the kids. And I thank Annie for helping me pack and help Bill pack lunches. And we started a kids' food drive. So, rest in the Lord. Thank you.
A wise old sage once said that when you're feeling depressed, when you're hurting and you're looking for a way out, do something for someone else. Serve. And Ed is a grand example of a servant. And we thank you, Ed, and thank you for sharing. And I'm glad everyone's sitting down. Because those of you, especially on the leadership team, need to be sitting down. Because you're going to be surprised. Because the next individual that's going to come up and give a testimony is Dave. Come on. We've had a hard time scheduling Dave.
Thanks, Bill. Well, how much time do you want me to take? Because I could take the rest of the day, but I'm... Now we'll try to go for about 10 minutes here. That'll give us time for due communion and give two testimonies today. The first one's going to be very short. It's going to be the testimony of my salvation, which there's nothing extraordinary about it. Well, yes, there is. In that sense, God wanted me. When I was 12 years old, I went to I was born and raised right here in this church. Mom brought me to church almost every Sunday. A lot of Sundays I'd have to sit by Pam, but that was okay. I still kept coming back. I begged Mom, no, but I was born and raised right here in the church. So I don't know a time when I didn't hear the Word of God. It was in my life from the time I was born. But when I was 12, I went to a Mount Hope, it's called, a camp, church camp for kids, and was there. And Pam's brother, Sam, was one of the counselors there at that time. And for whatever reason, I hadn't planned this. I hadn't even thought about it. I thought everything was, I was going through the motions, so to speak, of being a good kid, going to church, being a Christian. And all of a sudden, we had a class there, and there was, I don't know, several kids. And Sam said, all right, I want everybody to bow their heads and pray with me. And I want to know if there's anybody here who wants to be saved today. And for whatever reason, I started blubbering and raised my hand. So Sam and I had a talk afterwards, privately, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Amen. That was the start. Now, what I did with that afterwards was very little. I was just another normal kid going through life that didn't do an awful lot for God. Until I had to leave my nest, my home, and go to college. And I'm on my own. All of a sudden, the real world hit me, and I'm facing questions and challenges of, do I want to go to this big drinking party? My Christian values and the values that have been raised was saying no. What am I going to do? And go anyway. Go witness, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, I was faced with those challenges that I'd never really been faced with, the peer pressure before here in Loyalton, of where is my Christian faith? We happen to have a pastor here at that time, Pastor Mark. He's been here several times and spoke. And I was down at Yuba College in Marysville. And anyway, he started coming down there to do Bible studies, discipleship, different things. That's where I really decided to serve God from that point on. Pam was a big part of that. She was down there at college. Now, her husband kind of drugged me in the other way. He was my roommate at college there for a year, but it was all right. But we had a great time. So that's my simple story of God's salvation in my life. And the reason I say simple is because many people think, well, I have no testimony about my salvation. I don't have this big, wild story of how he pulled me from the pits of hell, and yet he did. Even though it's a simple story. So even though you think your testimony of how you were saved doesn't have an impact, it does. Because it testifies to the fact that Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us. Now the testimony I want to get to today is a little different than a regular testimony you want to hear. And I may start to blubber a little bit too, Ed, but that's all right because the Holy Spirit moves us. And that's okay. Boy, I can't even get started, and I haven't got to the bad point yet. Last 4 years, we've been in a drought. And farming is my business, along with my two brothers, my family. And we've never... Well, let me back up. I would like to request that what I say here today kind of stays here. I don't want it scattered all over around town, because I'm going to get into a little bit of some private stuff. Not that I'm embarrassed by it, I just would rather it stay right here. And I think that might be true for most testimonies that take place here. People are up here expressing freely what's going on with God in their lives, and that might not be something that necessarily wants to be out on the street. We've never had very seldom have we had at the ranch, a time where we've had real financial issues. And I know a lot of times people think we got a lot of land and we're just rich. Well, we're not. We do okay. I eat every day, 3 meals. And things are okay. We've had 4 years of drought, and it put us in a little bit of a struggle because grass didn't grow. So pasture for our cattle was pretty minimal. We had to pump a lot more water out of the valley and use a lot more water on the alfalfa to get it to grow to produce a crop. That's what we make our money off of, selling that hay. And so it became a little bit of a struggle. The first 2 years weren't bad, but it kind of kept compounding. But we survived through that. 2017 hit, and we thought, here comes the rains. Praise God. And yes, I still say praise God. Bible talks about going through storms in your life. I didn't realize the storm that was going to hit. We didn't realize the impact that so much water was going to have. Flooding out fields. Taking out crops. The expense and the time and the hassles to put it back in. To put it all back together. We're just finishing up our first cutting of alfalfa. I had probably about 1,000 acres that was just wiped out by the floods, in essence. Normally, we produce about 2,500 to 3,000 ton of alfalfa hay that we sell to the dairies off of my first cutting. This year, we'll be lucky to have 1,000. Now, I want to make another thing clear. I'm not here complaining, okay? I just want to set a stage for you so that after the noon whistle blows, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I'm not complaining. I'm praising God for the blessings that He gives us through trials. 1,000 ton total production off of first cutting. Now, if you want to do the math in your head, and this word gets a little bit, you know, personal, I guess. We're selling hay for $200 a ton, and if I'm short 2,000 ton, that's $400,000 that we're not going to have in our bank account this year. That's $400,000 that I got to figure out how to replace or do without or cut expenses or whatever. And we're not the only one in the same boat. Every farmer in this valley is pretty much in the same situation. Start the hay season off and everything's good to go. I've never had a year with so many major breakdowns, blown up motors and equipment, differentials blown out, final drives blown out, all things that are $5,000-$10,000 a pop. I got to a point where I was just stressed, and all of a sudden, it hit me. God hit me. It says, Dave, why are you worried? Haven't I taken care of you guys in the past? And I look back to when some of you may have been there years ago. We had a concert at our place, a gentleman by the name of Dennis Agajanian, who was a professional guitar player. We had it in one of our barns out there. I don't know, there must have been 200 or 300 people that showed up to this concert that was put on. And that was another drought year where we didn't have a lot of hay. The barn was empty. This took place in about the 1st of July, somewhere in there. The barn was empty. The barn should have been full by then. And they had a prayer that day at that barn, praying for us. And by the end of the season, every barn was full. And God just blessed us. I don't know how He did that. But I've seen this several times, a couple of times at least, two times specifically, to where things look really desperate. And God just blesses us. He takes care of us. Song that Mark sang about several weeks ago, His Eyes on the Sparrow. If He cares about a little bird, don't you think He cares about us? I want you to raise your hand here. This isn't a rhetorical question. How many of you go through hard times? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying to me. We all do. And the point of my message, little message or testimony here this morning is to say, you know what? If we never went through hard times, how would our faith grow? How would God get us to grow? Gary, were you able to get the scriptures up, Gary? Okay. I want you to first of all go to Philippians. And many of you are going to know this verse. Philippians 4, verse 6. And I wanted to have it put up on the screen so that you can see it right there, because hearing it is one thing, but hearing it and seeing it is another. And it says, be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. See, even through our times of struggle, giving that praise to God, thanking Him for that struggle, is what He wants us to do. We just sang a song a little bit ago called Made to Worship. It doesn't matter what we're going through. Doesn't matter the struggles in our life, God's going to take care of us. Now that doesn't mean, and I don't want to give an impression, that God's going to make everything peaches and cream. Because He's not. We see that in our lives daily. Why does Ed have massive headaches? I don't know why. But we give Him praise because He is our God anyway. Now turn over to James 1, verse 2. It says, consider it all joy. Wow. That's not my definition of joy, of going through struggles. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Consider it joy to go through those trials. God's going to take care of me. Am I going to have my days just like every one of you going through whatever struggle you have? Going to have your days, you're going to say, I just want to give up. God will bless us. One way or another. We don't want to lose sight of that. Because in our daily lives, our daily work, our daily hassles, it's easy to do. Keep your focus upon Jesus Christ. He will make it joy. Whatever struggle you're going through. Thank you.
I appreciate the testimonies. There are some hard times. Certainly as we look at the birth of our country, we've seen some hard times. You know, our forefathers that were signers of the Declaration of Independence didn't fare too well as we look back to the Revolutionary War. Most lost their homes, many lost their lives. And yet, they were doing it for a cause of freedom. One of the sections of the Declaration of Independence lists the grievances that our forefathers had against King George and England. It's quite a list. I've got about 3 pages of it here, but I'm not going to share that with you. You can turn to the Declaration and read it. But it kind of sounds like they were enslaved. And when we look at that word freedom, basically what freedom means is not being enslaved. With the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, our country was officially and permanently declared independent from the Kingdom of Great Britain. And the political and cultural landscape of both nations changed forever. Our forefathers set events in motion that not only impacted them, but also impacted the generations to come, including ours and our children's and what will be your children. You get the picture. July 4th, 1776 was a day when everything changed. That's a political freedom. The freedom Jesus offers is a spiritual freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin. You know, the greatest celebration of freedom is a commitment to that which makes me free. We look back to our forefathers and they were willing to place their lives on the line for a commitment to an ideal that said we should be free. Well, you know what? Today, July 2nd, 2017, can be a day of freedom. It can be a day of a declaration of independence for the bondage of sin. That list of grievances I alluded to, I might ask you, what grievances can you file against Satan who might hold you enslaved in bondage? What sin? Is it idolatry? Is it lust? Is it dishonesty? Is it envy? Ego, pride, what is it that we find ourselves enslaved in? Dave, I appreciated your sharing, and Ed, your sharing. And talking about how you can get caught up being enslaved. And I speak for all of us when I say, you're not alone. As we come to a communion table today, why not declare your independence? Let today be Independence Day for you. 241 years ago, the fathers of this country signed the Declaration of Independence from England. They determined to live free or die. That was a strong commitment. Nearly 2 millennia ago, Jesus said, if you will continue in His word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Political freedom is one thing. Freedom in Jesus is something else. And even though we sometimes get the two confused, Jesus sets us free from the power, the penalty, and to the extent that we truly follow him, even the practice of sin. His life, death, and resurrection is the ultimate truth. He himself is the truth that sets me free. Without him, I'd still be in slavery to lust, selfish desires. With him, I allow the Spirit to work in me. Do I occasionally still fall into that enslavement? Sure. But I can keep coming back to that which sets me free. Those that could come help serve communion might be coming forward now. As you come to the communion table, why not declare your independence? Let today be Independence Day for you. Brad, will I ask you to pray for the bread?
Lord, your broken body accomplished for us something we couldn't do on our own. We thank you for that, and thank you for this symbol that we can share together as you encourage us to always remember what you did for us on the cross when you gave up your body. Thank you in your name.
There's a hymn that says that if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God can do. Let's eat this together and remember the one that allows us that assurance.
God, we thank you so much for your Son and your love for us that we'll live the rest of our lives trying to understand and live out. God, thank you for Jesus and his death on the cross and the blood that run down for us, a new covenant, a new agreement with you, that it covered our sins and set us free. And Lord, help us to live in that freedom. And thank you so much for the Spirit that's in our hearts to drive us forward when things get tough. And the power that you give us. Thank you so much. Help us to remember that and take it in a manner well pleasing unto you this morning. In Jesus' name.
There he was, with his arms held open wide. His cut and bleeding side, each drop full of love and freedom. Freedom for you and me. I thank God for Calvary. I want to live to see the man who died for me, Jesus. Let's drink this together. Father, we thank you that you're our God and that you love us so much, and that there is freedom in you. Open our hearts, Father. Open our minds to accept that freedom. Give us the boldness and the courage to act on that freedom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.